Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here for Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, a couple of reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to make a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, as a reminder to our committee members and staff, as always, please state your name before giving your question or your comment. And with that, we'll officially begin tonight's Finance Committee meeting. The day is Thursday, December 2nd, and the time is 5:34 p.m. At this time, I ask Dr. Dickbush if you may please call the meeting to order.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. And it's 5:44 p.m. and I'd like to call the December 2nd meeting of the Finance Committee to order.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. With that, I'll take roll call. Dr. Dickbush?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Mohammeda?
Here.
Thank you for that, committee members. We have quorum to continue tonight's meeting. Next, we'll move on to public comment. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. If you're a member of the public and you'd wish to make a comment, you may unmute yourself now. Perfect. If there's no public comment, we'll move forward with the agenda. Next, with the approval of agenda, the motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I make the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mika.
Thank you, Mr. Mohammedov. With that, I'll take roll call. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mohammedov?
Yes.
Thank you for that, committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to the announcements from CEO and superintendent and committee members. I'll turn this over to Mr. Valcala.
Good evening, Finance Committee members, Makan, Dr. Dickbush, staff. Hopefully everyone is doing well today. No updates from me at this time.
Thank you. Is there any announcements or updates from our committee members before proceeding?
Not for me, thank you.
Got it. If not, I'll move forward with the agenda. Next, with the recommended action items, starting with 2A. Committee approval of findings to conduct virtual meetings pursuant to AB 361, Government Code Section 54953. This will be presented by Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Thanks again, Jen. Good evening, everyone. All of you are very familiar with AB 361, which gives us the ability to continue having our meetings via teleconference. In order to mitigate any risk to having in-person meetings, I will turn it over to Jen to give any other information regarding AB 361. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. You summed it up pretty perfectly. So we're just here to continue utilizing the provisions under AB 361, which entails the teleconferencing flexibilities. And as stated under such law, is that we need to revisit it by or before 30 days. So with that, I'll open it up the floor to any comments or questions that the members of the public may have. If there's no questions or comments, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the Finance Committee to adopt the findings relating to the ability of the Magnolia Public Schools Finance Committee to conduct meetings due to teleconference during the state of emergency in reference to AB 361, Government Code Section 54953. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'd like to move the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohammedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohammedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with unanimous vote. Next, we'll move on to recommended action item 2B, approval of 2021 through 22 first interim budget report for all MPS. I'll turn this over to Steve, our new CFO, and Haroon.
Okay. Let's go ahead and, all right, bear with me 1 second here. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, and I'll go ahead and begin by just giving you an overview of our first interim report. And please let me know, Ms. Laura, when I can go ahead and share my screen. I'm ready.
Will you be sharing the first interim report?
Yes.
Okay, then yeah, you have capability.
Okay, great. Okay. Right. So can everybody see my screen there?
Yes.
If you can make it a little larger, just a tad bit. Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, that looks good. Thank
you. Okay, great. All right. So hello everyone. Good evening, finance committee members and everyone else others who are here. I'll go ahead and begin by sharing with you some details in regards to our first interim report. This is the next piece of, you know, from the time the budget is adopted in July 1. This is an interim report that is required by California Ed Code to be done right around December to reflect actual spending through October 31st. And we will also be providing a second interim report to you in March of 2022 that will provide additional details of how much we've spent down in March through March 31st of 2022. So I'll give you kind of an overview of where we are in terms of our financials, in terms of revenue, expenditures, and deficits or any surpluses that we have, as well as fund balances and reserves. And so I'll go ahead and start by kind of sharing with you just an overview of the organization as a whole, and also by site. We'll go through the next slides by site, but I'll go ahead and begin here by kind of talking to you a little bit about the organization as a whole. And as you can see on the right here, we're looking at LCFF revenues of right around $41.2 million. And this reflects all of the entities from MSA 1 all the way through MSA San Diego. And so that's our LCFF that we are projecting out to have at the close of June 30th for 2022 for this current fiscal year. And if you take a look, we've got, you know, our federal revenues, our entitlement programs, Title I, Title II, Title III, right around $7.7 million. And let me go ahead and just kind of highlight that. And so we've got our other state revenues, which includes mandated cost reimbursements, lottery, and other types of state programs that are reflected here. And then we've got our local revenues, our other local revenues, I should say, which include PPE loans that we were able to secure actually in the prior year in 2021. And many of those we've received, and we were fortunate enough to be relieved of the obligation to have to pay those new, and it's relatively small in the amount, but obviously we're looking to help increase that and gain additional dollars. But it's booked as it comes in, so we're striving to help improve that. So as a total, we're looking at $63 million in revenues, and this is offset by our expenditures, which includes salaries for teachers, classified staff, employee benefits, including the cost of STIRS and PERS, Social Security, Medicare, health benefits, et cetera, looking at right around $9.2 million there. And then not a lot in terms of books and supplies, but a lot of money towards services that includes money for things such as software and things like that, that so that students can continue to learn during this time where we're, you know, in a pandemic and they're having to utilize technology more than ever. So if you take a look at the total, we're looking at $63 million in revenues, offset by about $60.2 million worth of expenditures, leaving us a surplus of approximately $2.9 million. So it's nice to see that we're not at the sites where we're doing well in terms of balancing the needs of our students and our staff, and yet doing so in a manner in which we're not deficit spending, and we're being responsible in terms of our financial obligations. And some of the other things I wanted to highlight with you all here is going over our ending fund balances. And so this is basically what's left over. I mean, we've got our net, actually, I'm sorry, I'm gonna go ahead and talk about our net income first here. So this is important to note. So this net income actually reflects money that we have left over after we cleared it. We've got $1.4 million left over at MSA1, approximately $800,000 left over at MSA2, over $100,000 at MSA3, a little less than that, about $84,000, $85,000 at MSA4. MSA5 has a nice, healthy surplus of $385,000, and we've got small surpluses at the number six site. And as you can see, nearly all of the school, a little bit of a deficit of $437,000 that we're projecting currently. However, I think that given the fact that we're about only 5 months into the year, we still have over half the year to go. I think that we can find ways to help offset that and put us in the black in terms of the MRF deficit that we're showing there. And so the other thing I wanted to share with you is our projected ending fund balances. And so we're looking at, you know, some schools with some very healthy ending fund balances. We're looking at about $9.5 million at MSA1, close to $4 million at MSA2, about $2.3 million at three. And, you know, you can kind of read the numbers there. I can talk you through it, but you can all see that we have significant balances that are available to us, which really helps with our reserves. So if you look just below that, you can see that we have some very good, healthy reserves. Generally, charter schools, individual schools of the size that we have with under 1,000 students require at least a 4% reserve. If you have less than 500 students, it's a 5% reserve. And so, as you can see, we far exceed the reserve requirements that would be required under the state guidelines and the criteria and standards. So it's really good to see that we're able to not just meet our financial obligations, but do it in a responsible manner and be able to continue to provide services for our students. And so during the next slides, I'm going to kind of break down by site, and let's go down to, this is Magnolia Science Academy 1, Reseda. This is our grade 6 through 12 school, excuse me. And we're looking at, you know, $5.8 million in LCFF. The school gets a pretty significant amount of supplemental and concentration grant funding, which is reflected there. We're projecting close to $7.1 million in revenues, offset by about $6.3 million in expenditures, leaving us with over $800,000 as a net surplus at the end of the year. And now going on to, the next one, MSA2, we're looking at, excuse me, I apologize. I'm gonna go back to one and then skip over to three. I kind of jumped ahead there. My apologies. So taking a look at MSA one, if I didn't talk about it, we're looking at $12.3 million in revenues, offset by about $11 million in expenditures, a little less than, with about $1.5 million worth of carryover, which is a generous fund balance, which leaves a generous surplus that adds to our fund balance. So now moving on to MSA3, again, here we've got about $6.7 million worth of revenues, offset by about $6.5 million worth of expenses, leaving us about $184,000 net surplus, which is nice to have considering some of the challenges that we face out there. Going to MSA4, this is our LA, I believe our Culver City location. We're looking here at $2.1 million in revenues and with about $2 million worth of expenditures. And still we've got a balanced budget with some money left over at about $85,000. Now going over to our number five site, this is, I believe, Reseda. We're looking at, again, over $4 million worth of revenue, a good amount of LCFF revenue. We've got lots of students that are in need, so we're able to collect that supplemental and concentration grant funding. So we're looking at about over $4 million with the revenues coming in and expenditures of close to $3.67 million going out and leaving us with $385,000, close to $400,000 left over as a net surplus for the year. Okay, so now moving on to our number six site. This is Los Angeles. We're looking at here $1.8 million worth of revenues and approximately a little less worth of expenditures, but still we're projecting to have a balanced budget and then some money left over. So despite different challenges that are out there at the individual sites, we're still able to project that we have some carryover after we've paid all our bills at this particular site. Now, moving on to, this is going to be Northridge, number seven. And so here, again, we're projecting out $4.3 million worth of revenues coming in and $4.24 worth of expenditures going out, leaving us with a positive of $87,000 worth of surplus at the end of the fiscal year. And now going on to number eight, this is our Bell school located in Bell. And we've got here a little over $6 million worth of expected revenue coming in and $5.9 million worth of expenditures going on, also leaving us with a net surplus of $138,000. So now let's go over to Santa Ana, and this particular school, we're looking at close to $8.5 million worth of revenue. We serve a lot of students in need in that particular site, and so we've got a good amount of money coming in from our LCFF that we're able to utilize in terms of our supplemental and concentration grant funding, there are obviously some expenses associated, and so but we're still showing a balanced budget with in excess of $93,000 projected to be a surplus at the end of the year. And I'm gonna go ahead and go down here to San Diego. And here we've got $4.7 million worth of revenues coming in. Now this particular site serves a diverse group of students. However, many of them don't qualify for free and reduced lunch or don't fall under one of the categories such as EL, English language learners, or foster care youth. So we aren't able to capture as much money in terms of concentration grant funding. And we get a little bit of supplemental grant funding, but the population we serve, I believe, is roughly about 30 to 35% of students that qualify under that category. So we're not able to collect as much LCFF revenues as we as was shown in the other nine schools. And some of those schools are like 95, 96% free and reduced lunch. So that's not the case here at the San Diego school. So you can see it reflected in the revenues coming in. And we obviously have expenses there. So this is as close to a balanced budget as you're gonna get, with about close to $40,000 left over at the end of the year. And I'm gonna go ahead and close it out by just talking about the MRF, the home office. And here we're projecting our deficit, as I shared with you before. And you know, there are costs associated with facilitating these schools and helping support them. And so we're gonna continue to look for ways to continue to support our schools, but also do so in a manner in which we're doing it cost effectively. And I believe that with some hard work and some careful planning and some creativity, I think we can help reduce that deficit down. But regardless, I know that you see a deficit there. We still have a positive projected ending fund balance at MRF, and we still have a healthy reserve there. So I don't believe it's a significant cause for concern. And so with that, are there any questions? Haroon, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, Steve, thank you for the presentation.
Thank you, Stephen. Haroon, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, committee members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Thank you, Steve, for the presentation and putting this together. We had brief discussion, but just to reiterate, you guys are on top of what's going on at the central office, as you had mentioned, and reasons for that. And also, one more time to reiterate the things. Sorry, I'm in the office. Just to reiterate the things a bit more at MSA 4, MSA 6, and in terms of enrollment. And then, of course, to pay extra attention to MSA 5 because of the plans that we have for that school in particular. Given the fact that we had a lot of one-time funding and that contributed a lot to how the books look as of today, and just to prepare for the years to come, assuming that these types of fundings may not be available going forward.
Yes, thank you, Makan. I agree with you 100%. You always want to be wise to not utilize one-time money for ongoing expenditures, and we're very mindful of that. And Alfredo and I, Mr. Rubalcaba and I share the same mindset, and we want to work together and carefully plan out the remainder of the year. And as I mentioned before, you know, it takes a certain level of creativity and being able to spend down your restricted funds, because that's essentially what they are. These are one-time funds that are restricted. And so we want to be able to carefully identify ways in which we can spend the money within guidelines, within protocols, but yet still be able to maintain our programs and still continue to have balanced budgets and still continue to move forward and thrive. So that's going to take a tremendous effort, and I believe we're going to be up for that challenge. So thank you for that.
Yeah, this is Alfredo, and thank you, Makan, for the comments. And on this call as well, we have Dr. Lopez, who leads our enrollment efforts. So definitely for those school sites that you mentioned, we are definitely walking a tightrope. We do have a plan in place to, you know, improve the enrollment at the schools, but, you know, that's something that, as has been the case for 3 or 4 years, it's been a very delicate case. So we're hoping to show some evidence of that enrollment spike within the next months as we see some of our systems start to be implemented. And we're gonna work hard, very hard, to ensure that all of our schools, but specifically those ones that you mentioned, are sustainable for the long term. So definitely wanted to just reiterate that as well, that we definitely are working around the clock to make that work. And with that, I'll just turn it over to Dr. Lopez to see if she wants anything, if she wants to add anything specific to our processes and systems with enrollment.
Good evening, committee members and everyone on the call. So Alfredo said it best. Our best indication will be in the next coming months. A lot of our school sites, when it comes to enrollment, first is identifying, we know the impact of pandemic, what it had with our families when it comes to word of mouth and really hosting events. And that's big in building the culture at your school. But it's also an opportunity to grow now, how people say, coming back better, right? So really learning from any areas that when it comes to hosting events, outreaching to our community, you can't get comfortable. And I really applaud the work that our schools are doing actively, especially our new principals who are really taking ownership when it comes to focusing on enrollment. So Mr. Choi at MSA 6, hitting the ground, canvassing his community. He's at a new school site. And so from that flyering, he's actually received an enrollment from that. We're gonna attend an event with other charter schools in January also. So a lot of that work is really getting out there in our community, having our presence known. With Laura, she's a new principal at MSA 8. And so a lot of that work the foundation is being built when it comes to creating opportunities for our student leadership, our parent meetings, engagement in that piece. So a lot of that work is being laid out, and it's going to take time, definitely, but we do see some positive trends. Even Mr. Searce at MSA San Diego, we were able to look at his enrollment data prior, this time last year, prior to the pandemic. Their numbers were higher prior to the pandemic, and then we saw a dip during the pandemic this time last year in terms of those applications on SchoolMint. And now we're actually seeing, he was at, in November, he was 20 applications higher than the previous year compared to this time last year. So we definitely are seeing that positive trend. Are we fully, you know, out of the woods? No, but the important thing is to lay out those practices and put a light on it, and really focus our energies in being effective and efficient.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez. And I just wanted to add one thing that Dr. Dickbosch did ask of us, and we weren't able to reflect it here in our first interim, but we definitely will reflect it in the second interim in the budget. Dr. Dickbosch has asked on a couple of occasions about informing the board in terms of the petition enrollment capacity of each school. So if we look at the numbers, and you don't see this visually, but I just, from the top of my head, so for MSA 1, the enrollment capacity per the petition is 925. So currently we have 746. So that's a deficit of 179. For MSA 2, we have an enrollment capacity per the petition of 473, and we're currently at 500. So that's positive 27. So that's good. MSA 3, we have an enrollment capacity of petition, which is 449. We're currently at 410. So that's a deficit of 39. MSA 4, we have an enrollment capacity per the petition of 360. We currently have 107, so that's a deficit of 253. MSA 5, we have an enrollment capacity of 460.
Currently we have 243, so that's a deficit of 217. MSA 86, we have a capacity of 300, we have 83. So MSA 7, we have capacity of 300. Currently we have 277, so that's minus 23. MSA 8, we have an enrollment capacity per the petition of 495, we're at 395. MSA Santa Ana, we have an enrollment capacity of 880. Right currently, we have 515, so that's a deficit of 365. San Diego, we have an enrollment capacity of 480. We currently have 431, so that's a decline of 59. And the reason I think it's important for us to say it and to feel it is because all of us are working super hard to ensure that we do our best to fulfill that promise, and the promise was to ensure that everyone did have a seat at our schools. So when you in aggregate take all the numbers, you're talking about 1,452 seats, which are vacant in terms of petition capacity. And that's not lost on us. We're striving obviously to fill those seats because we do believe our organization offers the best opportunity to our kids, especially in our community. So that's, collectively 1,452. So when we strive for what is our ultimate goal, which we're always, looking at, is to have 5,149 students. Obviously, that's far from the number we have right now, but that's something, again, if you're striving for something, you're pushing for something, you continually make improvement to get to that level. So that's what always on our mind, and that's something we're always pushing with the school sites to try to achieve that, because once we do that and we're able to have a great academic program, then we could say that we've in some way fulfilled our promise, but the work continues as we prepare our kids for college, career, and life. So just wanted to add that piece, just because I know that's something that has been requested in the past and something that we're always thinking about as well. With that, I will turn it over to Dr. Dikbosh to see if he has any questions, or Makan if he has any follow-up questions.
Thank you, Alfredo. I think on my end, appreciate it, the numbers and giving the capacity and the what we have potential for. Always helps when we're planning for budget and looking forward to. So thanks for that.
I think for me also, thank you for the detailed report. I understand this is unprecedented times, and with that, it's good that with one-time funding, we are essentially able to move with a healthy budget. I think one thing in the main summary part, I think only one net income is for the home office. I understand maybe it might be inevitable, but still we have, I guess, several months ahead of us. If we can find some ways to minimize that, I think that will be one feedback I have. That will be great, but that's the only one. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Dikbosh. And I think what we've done since 18-19, we've been able to definitely be very cognizant of creating a cushion, and we've done that over 3 years. And that's because we have been able to find different ways to cut expenses. And I think this year, obviously, the impact of not meeting our enrollment targets caused our deficit, also some unexpected cost. But again, as we've done the previous 3 years, we'll definitely put our heads together and find ways to reduce expenses. So we could say that all of our schools and the home office had net income for the at the end of the year. So thank you for that feedback.
Any further comments or questions from our committee members? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the Finance Committee to recommend approval for the 2021 through 22 first interim reports as the most recent revised budget for the 2021 through 22 fiscal year, and further recommends and moves that the Finance Committee recommend and move that the MPS Board of Directors do the same. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move, Mekan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Thank you, Dr. Diklish. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Dr. Diklish?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. With that, the motion carries with unanimous vote. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. At this moment, I ask Dr. Diklish if you may please adjourn. The time is 6:09 p.m.
Okay. Again, yeah, thanks everybody for attending. It's 6:09 p.m. I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Stay safe, stay healthy.
Good night.